All right, so I already put in the notes of just some high-level news updates. And some of this stuff isn't necessarily new, but it's new to this group discussion, at least. And one thing in particular that came up on my radar, because there's just so much information floating around, this Global Food Blockchain Initiative. It's supposed to be this food industry consortium that they're trying to build this global blockchain for food safety. Has anybody heard about this? Or, I looked at the website. The last thing I have seen was in 2018 of any event. They also have a LinkedIn group, which you can find from the website to join. But it seems interesting, seems pretty ambitious. So it looks like I have a check on here. Hang on, sorry. Hi, yeah, Jonathan, you are muted. If you unmute yourself, do you need me to help you?
Now,
I unmuted you, so I can hear you.
Oh, thanks. I was trying to switch to the Zoom on my iPad since my phone was going dead.
No
Yeah, I'm Jonathan Cobb. I'm a solution architect with Oracle, primarily focused on the pre-sale side, but I cover a lot of our emerging tech apps, and primary focus is on supply chain and the ERP applications. But just looking to learn, just here to see what you guys are doing. Nice
Okay.
to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Yeah, if you have any input, feel free to raise your hand and just step in and ask and say too.
Will do.
All right. Okay.
Thanks.
So, yeah, anybody hear about this global food blockchain initiative at all? Okay. Well, sorry, I keep changing this, but anyways, I'm gonna look more into that myself. Not sure if it's gonna stick at all, but it seems to be based in the UK.
Are there participants that are corporations or just individuals?
It's a food industry consortium, so it's gonna be, well, I'm assuming it's companies as well. At least that's what they're trying. They have about like a 200 user following on LinkedIn. Here's the website. There is a presentation section which I have not looked at yet. So we are a food industry consortium focused on one common goal to improve food safety and security by facilitating a common approach to a global food blockchain. So yeah, I don't know how sticky this is, but definitely something to look out for. And also in the news, LG CNS to launch a food blockchain for schools, which is interesting. They call it Monachain. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And it's based in R3 Corda. So that's also something of interest that's working its way into school systems. Now, this is, I believe, in Korea, or South Korea, rather. So, also, Nestle joins WWF OpenSC Blockchain for Sustainable Supply Chains. So, OpenSC is a supply chain blockchain developed by the WWF, not the not the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. This is the that consortium for animal sustainability and protection. But it's a partnership with WWF and Boston Consulting Group. I have not heard much more about it other than in this usage. And as far as what technology it uses, I'm not quite sure. I have to do some more research, like whether if it's Ethereum or Fabric. Or R3 quarter or whatever, but that's something that seems to be taken on by Nestle. This is something I also heard before I put it on here, but Walmart China unveils a food traceability blockchain called VeChain Thor. This association called Ch China Chain Store and Franchise Association. So right now they have about 23 product lines, and they're supposed to have up to 100 lines by year end. I looked at this. It doesn't look like it's like Food Trust. It looks like an Ethereum-based blockchain. I didn't look more in depth on that, but I see the word DApp, and I immediately just think of Ethereum. But that needs to be confirmed. Also, Oracle has this B supply chain blockchain, partnered with the World Bee Project to introduce blockchain technology to track honey to make sure. Well, the idea is to generate this bee mark label guaranteeing that the honey was produced from an ecological and sustainable source. So interesting, pretty cool. Also in the news, CTA, which stands for Technical Center for Agricultural and Rural Cooperation, it must be a different language, offers a blockchain for agricultural grants, and they granted a blockchain to help the farming conditions in various African countries. I'm not going to say all these, but it's also for sustainability and to help improve agricultural growth for impoverished farmers. Also, Aon, which is an insurance firm, like the second largest in the world, Oxfam, Therisk, they launched a blockchain also for agriculture in Sri Lanka. The idea is to have insurance around or for the farming participants. The idea is to address a lack of affordable insurance and to speed up insurance claims processing. I know it's not necessarily food safety, but I found it around agriculture and food, so I found that interesting. It's based in Ethereum. It seems to have already 200 participants, and they're expected to go up to 5,000. And last but not least here, on my list at least, IOTA partners with this company called Primority for food traceability. And it's basically to track allergies so that basically somebody can scan it, you know, consumer can do a scan on a QR code, for example, and be confident that the food that they're eating is either they know what allergens are in it and they can be confident that those are the allergens, or find any other information about the actual food attributes or whatever for traceability. But it's more oriented around allergies. So any questions, any input, any areas that we want to go deeper in to find out more?
Well, I think this is really valuable. One of the things that is starting to happen, even though none of these are really what I would call in production, and that would even include Food Trust, which maybe should be on the list, even though it's old.
Right.
It's just interesting to see this proliferation of these things, because they're all, well, I shouldn't say they're all. I mean, the Bee Project sounds like it's kind of distinct, but a lot of these sound like they're going to have overlapping scope.
Right.
And it will be interesting to see how that gets dealt with. I think eventually you just want to have one blockchain.
Right.
But the variety of foods and the variety of issues, which drives the variety of data that you would have to collect, either on-chain or off-chain, but as part of the solution, also is kind of intriguing, because food is just such a vast area. I don't know, maybe it will lend itself to some kind of balkanization where you might have produce subject to different, you know, have a produce blockchain, have a frozen food blockchain, you know, there's all canned goods might, you know, canned goods and prepared food might be something else. I don't know how these will eventually evolve.
Right. Yeah, they seem to be addressing more specific scenarios or situations. And you know, they're big companies and governments that are doing these niche type of applications.
And well, you got to start small so you can have it manageable. You can't take the whole world on in the first
right.
But
yeah, and it's all these different technologies. You got R3 Corda, then you got Ethereum, this OpenSC, which I'm not quite sure exactly what that is. You know, there's all these different blockchains. So, you know, the word I'm thinking is interoperability. What's that going to look like ultimately? I mean, that's something that, you know, I know there's people thinking and working on it, but it looks like once the industry catches up and starts to implement these, then that becomes, you know, that might be the next phase of determining what to solve for. You know, now you have all these different blockchains. How can we make it all work together nicely?
Yeah, well, I don't think the blockchains have to work together. I think you need a user interface that can support all the different blockchains.
Sure.
If you have a simple enough user interface, you don't care what's going on behind the curtain, as long as you just have a single interface that will automatically take care of your different products. And I think that's probably what will ultimately evolve. And some of these blockchains may then end up glomming together, but it's kind of like when we first started putting things on the web, where it became kind of this universal interface going through a browser to get to a whole variety of applications. You don't really care what the applications are as long as the interface is relatively simple.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, just, I'm also curious to see how all this stuff sticks to, I mean, you know, have this AllerSafe and VeChain Thor and all mm-hmm. these catchy names, or depending what language or part of the world you're in. But it could be confusing for consumers or companies as far as like what to pick. And I'm, you know, why couldn't Food Trust or any other blockchain also carry allergy information, right? So it looks like they're trying to wrap around these brand names to these specific features or functions. But it doesn't mean that these other blockchains can't contain the same information. So I don't know if they'll work, you know, like they'll, you know, people will replicate the data across blockchains, or, you know, blockchains will start building these features just to accommodate, you know, is it going to be driven by, you know, maybe the industry says, or the consortiums or the government say you have to have allergen information. So then all food blockchains have that information as well. So it'll be interesting how that plays out. Or maybe the governments will say, oh no, you got to be an allergen safe, whatever, as well. That's where we want to track our allergy information.
Yeah. Well, of course it's all speculation at this point, but I would suspect that what will happen is that these different blockchain repositories will just be kind of data sources, and you'll have an interface, a user interface that will integrate with all the relevant ones, and you won't care where the data comes from, so there's no reason to replicate data on each one. You get data on your allergies from AllerSafe, and you get your data on your, you know, cold chain from another one.
Right. Yep. No, it makes sense. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. I do see, you know, this, it's actually picking up, and they're becoming more niche, and, you know, you just got these big companies trying to claim a specific niche, you know, Oracle on the B mark. And Jonathan, I don't know if you have any say on that, being that you're from Oracle. You're not on mute, so maybe you muted your phone.
I was doubly muted, trying to protect you guys from the PA announcement in the plane here. So, but no, I don't. don't have any say in that. I'm curious to learn, obviously curious to learn more about it, but I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you find any within, you know, your company, like that, they can speak to this and they can jump on the call and just speak more about it. We'd like that a lot too, just to kind of get a more of an idea on this stuff. Cause we like to educate ourselves. So just a request if possible.
I'll reach out, and we're a big company. So I assumed that I'd probably learn something through this channel that I might not hear about otherwise internally, but I'll reach out internally and see what I can stir up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. As far as what else to cover, I mean, I could have done some more digging, probably find even more news, but I wasn't sure how long this would have taken. But I figured if we don't have a guest speaker, if there's not a specific topic that we want to focus on, that, you know, I'd like to just give, you know, general news update, what's going on since our previous discussion. And I think one thing we discussed in the very, very beginning is to have a collaborative project or something to either write up or collaborate on. What that would be, I don't know. But if we, any ideas that you guys might have, certainly please let me know. I can throw some up as well. But just trying to keep some movement and some, you know, ensuring we have value for each other on this meeting.
Well, from my perspective, what would be just valuable is to get presentations from each of these groups to learn what they're doing.
Yeah.
In more detail.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we could, that this group in and of itself, it's such a broad area, you know, for us to tackle another niche that's not already tackled, or even take one that is tackled, I don't think that we have the resources to do the heavy lifting for a food-based solution. But I think to learn about what's going on and perhaps act as almost a clearinghouse where all these different ideas get passed around so that everyone can know what everyone else is doing. I don't think any of these things are trying to be secretive.
Right. Yeah, I put an action item for me here that I'll reach out. For example, I want to check out this global food blockchain and reach out to them. I'm going to also, if there's any other consortiums that you guys are aware of, I also like to reach out to them just for us to get an understanding of these actual private blockchains that are being organized around food. So, you know, I'll do that. I'll take the list here and I'll make my introductions and requests. I'm particularly interested in the Global Food Blockchain Initiative, this AllerSafe, and Jonathan, just because you're from Oracle, anything on your end around food safety or food in general, like the beef supply chain, just it could be anybody that comes in, just gives us like an overview. That'd be great as well. So that being said, I could try to reach out to Nestle and Walmart. I just don't know if they'll respond to me. So, anything else that comes up that you guys see that you want to find out more, reach out, or if you want me to reach out, just let me know. I don't mind. I'll do my, I'll look at through my connections, see if I can find anything. On that note, if there's nothing else to discuss, unless you guys want to hang out and chat, we can end this early.
Well, I, for one, would be interested in finding out other people's opinions of how they think that this world is going to eventually coalesce. I mean, maybe I'm a futurist, so I think about those things, and maybe everyone else is more focused on deep tech instead. So it might not be a joint interest, but if anyone else had any opinions, I'd be interested in hearing them.
I mean, how far do you want to go? You want to go like a year, 5 years, 10 years?
Well, I mean, I just kind of where do we think these things will evolve? I think it's going to be, you know, probably 10 years. I think it'll be 5 years before any of these things would be even considered in production. I'm not sure that any of the current underlying blockchain technologies are really mature enough to support a production blockchain. I mean, yes, you can use them and they'll work, but I don't think they're really, I think your scalability is pretty limited, especially for something like food, which is global. You know, they've various blockchains have announced certain scalability goals that they've hit or milestones that they've hit, but it's usually in a very limited network of like two or three nodes. So it's not clear that just because they can go fast with three nodes that they can go fast with, you know, 1,000 nodes distributed around the world.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, these consortiums, I guess I'm curious to see how they will be funded and how they determine where these nodes are placed and how many are needed and to really create, you know, truly this blockchain network to ensure the provenance and the truth behind the data. Because it's the blockchain is only as good as the network and the participants. And that's why, you know, at the end of the day, would this be government sponsored? Would this just be commercially controlled? You know, would there be legal stipulations if it is commercially controlled, being that it is an open, well, if it's supposed to be a, you know, affects the public, you know, how are the regulations around that? You know, how much control can a company have on the blockchain, for example, like Walmart on their blockchain? How much say do they have in a regulated world around food, especially? So I wonder if there's new laws, new regulations that will have to be addressed because of that. What I do know is that this is here and it's here to stay. Just what's going to stay and stick and how it's all going to work together. That's what I'm curious to. I have my ideas. Nothing far-fetched. I mean,
what would you like to see?
I mean, I want to see, you know, well, we talked about the performance thing. Obviously, you know, don't want to have that issue. So whatever becomes, whatever the technology is, I don't know if it's going to, like, people are going to even care that it's blockchain. You know, like, end user, the consumer, they may not even care. But in the back end, it's using blockchain to, you know, store and retrieve the data. In that, you know, whatever, you know, I personally would like to just know more details that, you know, for example, if I shop organic, you know, that word's thrown around, like, is it really organic or what part of the supply chain was organic? And then do they put any chemicals on it? And, you know, so I personally want to have more trust in the food that I buy to really know what process it went through to get to, you know, to get into my mouth. So, and then, you know, also the regulation, like, you know, the different types of certifications you can get, you know, this B mark label, you know, kind of reminds me of fair trade or, you know, the organic or whatever that come up. So that's also interesting. And I can envision that we'll start seeing maybe on the labels, different blockchain based certifications that this is on, certified on this blockchain. Maybe that's a little bit too techie, but I'm just, whether it says blockchain or not, if it says BMARC, it's backed by blockchain technologies, for example. So that would be interesting as well. It looks like the government just might be more involved directly with blockchain technologies for food safety. At least that's what people are thinking with that transition of with the VP of food safety from Walmart to the FDA. So, and then with that being said, I mean, if the government steps in, then are they going to be, would they say, oh, you got to be on this blockchain, or do you have to be on a blockchain that fits this criteria, and then they police the blockchains? Like they, audit the auditors kind of thing.
Well, I don't think governments want to be in that business, especially on something that's global, because they don't have the jurisdiction. I think it's going to be an industry.
Not even global. Yeah. But like, what if like in just the United States, even if it's a global food supply chain, they probably just care about, okay, the U.S. and that a food company would have to be on a blockchain that meets this criteria.
Well, but if that's the case, then when the EU has a different set of criteria, and China has a different set of criteria, and Australia has a different set of criteria, it becomes untenable. So I'm hoping that governments will go pretty light on this. And I'm not opposed to government regulation, but something on a global basis, it's pretty hard to regulate.
Yeah, I'm curious what the differences are. I'm curious on if, are they that different or just more data in some countries,
Well, right now we have a good example in the pharmaceutical industry where various countries have come out with labeling requirements and serialization requirements, and they're quite unique country to country. So it means that if you sell drugs in Brazil, you got one type of label. If you sell them in the US, you've got another. If you sell them in the EU, you've got another. And there's probably about 10 different labels that you would need that are legally required in different countries or regions at the moment, and that could proliferate even further. I mean, maybe we'll see some coalescing, but it was really Brazil is particularly onerous, and you would have thought they would have followed some of the larger countries rather than coming up with their own, but they didn't.
Yeah, Brazil is always a challenge. Their tax code is very complicated. So I wouldn't be surprised what else is complicated there. That's a good point. Okay.
Anybody else?
Any thoughts, Christian? If you're still on? You're unmuted, but I don't know if your phone's still muted. I don't hear you. We don't hear you.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Jonathan. Okay. My thoughts would be purely speculative, but it makes me wonder how they're, going through and certifying things organic today, or certified fair trade, like coffee, for example, or Heartland Beef is an Agaushi, cattle producer, and they've got strict control over their brand and and where the brand goes. So that could be a commercial, you know, a commercial case. But when you go with certified organic or something along those lines, at what point is the, you know, how do they audit that today? I mean, is that something that we think would be replicated, and now you would just audit the chain as it's, you know, as the data's progressed through and built in the ledger? You know, I imagine they'll take the current model and you know, just put a digital spin on it. Not entirely sure. But I'm here to learn more and find out where it's going. So I think it could be a mix of, you know, government regulation as well as the commercial case has to, in my opinion, has to be the leading. You know, there's got to be money in it. And there's got to be a business case for it. So, you know, if consumers are willing to pay a premium for a brand that they know they can trust, and the data's, you know, trustworthy because it's on the blockchain and audited, then there you have a business case. That's my two cents before they tell me to get off my phone here. So nice meeting you, gentlemen.
Nice meeting you too.
Okay. Well, the organic certification is an interesting example because I don't know if any of you remember when actually the USDA came out with a definition of organic. Prior to that, everyone defined it quite uniquely, and many of the companies that were particularly proud of their organic heritage were very upset with the USDA because they allowed things that these other companies wouldn't have considered to be organic to be qualified as organic. You know, there was kind of a sellout to big business. And so the definition in the U.S. has now become standardized, but that doesn't mean that other countries use the same definition. It's all right if you're just selling domestically. But if you're doing things on a global basis, if your food products are moving globally, then you're going to have to have unique labeling for different countries where they have different standards.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, if there's more value than, like, let's say right now it's focused on food safety, more from just let's cover our ass kind of thing. But if it could also be leveraged for getting up transactions and the shipments and, you know, using the same connectivity, then you start to see benefit across the entire supply chain, versus just for a means of traceability.
Absolutely. There are all kinds of additional benefits. Once you've got that in place, you can then start using it for payments. You can use it for a whole bunch of different things.
And the wizard behind the curtain, you know, then it's about the analytics around the data and how much data they can just find out from all these transactions. And then since it's not as much noise, it's the data is cleaner and more pristine, the accuracy of the analytics, that'd be very interesting. I saw this new documentary on Netflix called, it's about the Cambridge Analytica and how they use data during the campaigns and how effective it was, and just, you know, the power of machine learning and data mining. And then when you have blockchain as like the source data, and what ultimately they can do with that, I mean, it's just the sky's the limit. I mean, I don't even know, but it's there's a lot of potential there. And the question is, who owns the data? So like for IBM Food Trust, I didn't ask on that last call, but do they own the data? Can you also use that data? Just data is just something, is an asset that is becoming more and more valuable in the world today. and it also raises a lot of privacy concerns as well. So I'd be curious to see how that, you know, speaking about the future, how that plays into all this as well.
Yeah.
All right.
So doesn't the blockchain become the ultimate single source of truth, right? For everybody to be able to report off of the same ledger. I mean, it takes that whole moniker and adds a couple exponents to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it, in terms of, you know, instead of having all these different databases saying their own version of the truth, you have one source of truth. So yeah. But then that, like, who owns that truth, and you know, what can you get out of that truth that might not be in everyone's best interest, or could be, like, let's say Walmart all of a sudden starts making decisions on their business model based on their blockchain data, because now they have more access. And what if they decide to, you know, find a new business opportunity from there, just having access to that data, you know, and weed out even the smaller folks in the supply chain. You know, that they're with all these, you know, all these retailers got to find new ways to be relevant, right? These new companies, especially with companies like Amazon, you know, Walmart has consumed or infiltrated a lot of you know, towns to take over small businesses. You know, I wouldn't say that they wouldn't continue on to other areas. So I'm just curious to see how that plays out because of the level of control and access to data that they'll have.
Very interesting questions.
Yeah. So just,
yeah, I wonder if in the decentralized model though, where, you know, where everybody's incentivized to contribute the data, I mean, there has to be a system of incentives where there's incentive to contribute your data. And one of those might be selling to Walmart, right? But then there's also incentives for making sure that it's accurate, right? But I've seen a couple of blockchain projects that are aimed at data privacy for your own personal data. So you take control over your own, you know, your own personal data, everything about Marco that's all over the web. You take ownership of that and you control who has access to it for what purposes and that manner of things. I think that's an interesting model, but I beg the question between the decentralized model versus the centralized model. If Walmart owns the blockchain, then it wouldn't be a decentralized model and you'd end up having this kind of issues.
Right.
What kind of issues would you have?
Where they have control over who gets to see what.
Well,
and it's their blockchain, right?
Well, it depends on what their governance rules are. The fact that they set it up doesn't mean that they have, you know, a complete say. I don't think most people would put a lot of stock in something where the other stakeholders didn't have a say in it, unless they trusted the owner of the blockchain enough to know that there was no benefit to the owner of the blockchain in falsifying information or screwing up the blockchain. And Walmart might turn out to actually be somewhat of a good sponsor because they don't own the products. They sell the products. So they're just trying to ensure their own blockchain, and their interests probably align reasonably well with those of their consumers. I don't work for Walmart or anything. I'm not trying to make a sales pitch here, but unless you thought that they were trying to push false products on the public, I would think that their interests would align with the public so that even if they did own the blockchain, I'm not so sure it would be so horrible. I think we give much too much, in my personal opinion, much too much emphasis on this notion of decentralization, and I don't think that people really even know how to define that term. But
why do you say that? Like, do you have a specific example on the decentralization?
Well, I think my personal opinion is that that decentralization is not a single concept. It's actually an agglomeration of different notions. There's decentralization of power. There's decentralization of data. There's decentralization of the validation process. And I think these are all different. And a lot of focuses on the validation process, and we talk about, you know, how many, you know, thousands of miners there are for Bitcoin, for example, but it only takes three consortia to be able to take over Bitcoin and create false records or to deny true records. So I'm not so sure that I would consider that particularly well, you know, decentralized. The data in blockchains is highly centralized, generally, meaning that all the data is in one place. It might be in 100 places, but all the data is there to be seen, unless you encrypt it or do some other tricks. So I don't consider the data decentralization is actually important. A lot of, when we get into the corporate world, a lot of people are actually wanting decentralized data, and they got very, I know a lot of the people I work with were very excited about blockchain because they heard about it being decentralized, and they imagined that that meant that their data didn't have to be put in the same pot as everyone else's where it was visible. And they were disappointed to learn that actually the data is highly centralized. Everyone puts it all into the same blockchain. That blockchain is then, for security purposes, replicated many times, and so you have that replication is that's different from having the data centralized, and you can achieve that same security and by having just, you know, two or three instances spread out around the world. Corporations do that all the time as part of their business continuity practices.
Right.
And so I just think that when you're talking decentralization, we use this one term that it's like the word love. You know, it has so many meanings that when you say someone says "I love you," what do they really mean? Does it mean that they lust after you and want to have sex? Does it mean, you know, is it romantic? I love my children. I love my girlfriend. I don't consider those two things the same.
Right.
But we use the same word. So I think it's a word that causes mass confusion, and I think it causes a lot more problems than it helps. I don't disagree that there's value in it, but I think decentralization for its own sake has taken hold in the blockchain community broadly, and I think you've got to justify it on a business case basis and decide which type of decentralization you're talking about and talk about each one separately.
Yeah, good point. Interesting thought. Okay, we're reaching top of the hour. Do we want to talk more? Might not have enough time to go through any bigger topics, but maybe just do a recap. So in terms of what's next, I'll reach out to these different folks, see if I can get any traction. Anything else comes up that you want to hear more about too, you know, please bring it up to the group. Any future state scenarios that might not be an issue now, but once certain features are implemented, what that would look like, are certainly interesting topics of discussion that can maybe develop into something more. That's it for me. Is there anyone want to add anything else before we close up?
No, but this was a good session.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Marco.
Take care.